sincerely hope, yeah, the Pearl Call Harem.
They named the band after their drug dealer's cat, but they spelled it wrong. The Latin phrase, Procul Harum, imperfectly translated means beyond these things. In the early 2000s, author Ian Marchant came out with a humorous travelogue called The Longest Crawl, which detailed a month-long trip he took around the British Isles. In the book, Marchant wrote of meeting someone who called himself Ash, in a pub in Wales. And Ash told him, quote, "I had this cat called Procul Harum, a Burmese, a sweetie she was. At this time, 66, 67, I was dealing acid to the beautiful people. Gary Brooker was one of my regulars. What's your cat called, Ash?" he asked me. "Procul Harum," I said. So they changed the name of the band. In the early 60s, this guy Ash shared a flat with the blues singer Long John Baldry. They used to go busking together, Baldry singing and playing guitar and Ash passing the hat. Sometimes they were accompanied by a young ukulele player known as Long-Haired Eric. That was Eric Clapton. Here's what member Keith Reed remembers about the origins of the name Procul Harum. Quote, "It's the name of a cat, a Siamese cat. It's the pedigree name, and it belonged to a friend of ours. Just somebody that we used to hang out with when we were forming the band. One day, somebody pulled out the cat's birth certificate and said, 'Have a look at this,' and the name of the cat was Procul Harum. And somebody else, in fact, a chap called Guy Stevens, who was quite instrumental in Gary Brooker and myself getting together in the first place, said, 'Oh, you must call the group Procul Harum.' And we just accepted that. We never even questioned it, never even thought if it was a good name. We just went ahead with that suggestion." Gary Brooker had been in an R&B band called The Paramounts since the early 60s, along with guitar player Robin Trower, multi-instrumentalist Chris Cooping, and drummer BJ Wilson. But the group broke up, and in 1966, Gary Brooker was introduced to Keith Reed by Guy Stevens, a radio DJ who also worked for Island Records. And so they had a group, and as Gary tells it, one day he was inspired by a Hamlet cigar commercial, which featured a jazz piano interpretation of Bach's Air on the G String, performed by the Jacques Lussier Trio.
Thank you. happiness is a cigar called Hamlet, the mild cigar from Benson and Hedges.
A quote from Gary Brooker. I was trying to learn it by ear. It's got a descending bass line, and when I put chords with it and went all the way down the scale, I found I was back at the beginning. It was circular. And so, as Gary Brooker tells the story, while he was playing around with this music, inspired by a television commercial, the postman arrived with some lyrics from Keith Reed. The lyrics, in fact, to A Whiter Shade of Pale. So he had this music, inspired by the jazz piano interpretation of the Bach piece, and he also had in his head a recent UK top 10 hit by Percy Sledge called When a Man Loves a Woman. Quote from Gary Brooker, I wasn't thinking it could be commercial or popular. I just wanted to be able to remember it. Back then you had to play things over and over until they got into your head. Not everyone had recorders to capture their ideas. Even in those early stages of the song, I thought it was interesting and that it could have potential. But I didn't jump out of my mum's bungalow shouting, I've written a hit, I've written a hit. I didn't follow any trend or pattern or current fashion. But I think that's what helped it in the end. Although Keith and I had a very good relationship and worked with each other over many years, he never actually told me what any of his lyrics meant, but I knew what they meant to me. That's how I liked it. I wanted the music to reflect what the words felt like. All I had to do was somehow make the chorus sound like a chorus by adding a triplet on the lead up to it. Apart from that, the chords are exactly the same in the chorus as they are in the verse. The lyrics are said to have been inspired by a conversation Keith Reed overheard at a party, when a man said to a woman, "You've turned a whiter shade of pale," and the phrase stuck in his mind. A quote from Keith Reed, "It's like a jigsaw where you've got one piece, then you make up all the others to fit in. I was trying to conjure a mood as much as tell a straightforward girl leaves boy story. With the ceiling flying away and the room humming harder, I wanted to paint an image of a scene. It's sort of a film, really. Trying to conjure up mood and tell a story. It's about a relationship. There's characters and there's a location and there's a journey. You get the sound of the room and the feel of the room and the smell of the room. But certainly there's a journey going on. It's not a collection of lines just stuck together. It's got a thread running through it." Reed sent the surreal lyrics to Brooker. "I remember the day it arrived, four very long stanzas," said Brooker. Within a couple of hours, the melody was written. This is what Gary Brooker told Uncut Magazine in 2008. "I'd been listening to a lot of classical music and jazz. Having played rock and R&B for years, my vistas had opened up. When I met Keith, seeing his words, I thought, I'd like to write something to that. They weren't obvious, but that doesn't matter. You don't have to know what he means, as long as you communicate an atmosphere. A Whiter Shade of Pale seemed to be about two people, a relationship even. It's a memory. There was a leaving, and a sadness about it. To get the soul of those lyrics across vocally, to make people feel that, was quite an accomplishment. Things can be gifted. If you trace the chordal element, it does a bar or two of Bach's air on a G string before it veers off. That spark was all it took. I wasn't consciously combining rock with classical." In the same uncut interview, Keith Reed recalled writing the lyrics. "I used to go and see a lot of French films in the Academy in Oxford Street. I was also very taken with surrealism, Magritte and Dali. You can draw a line between narrative fractures and the mood of those French films and A Whiter Shade of Pale. But my main influence was Dylan. I could see how he did it, how he played with words. I'd met Pete Townsend through Guy Stevens, and he'd put my name forward when Cream were looking for a lyricist. Then Guy put me and Gary together. I was writing all the time. The song was recorded at Olympic Studios in London. A quote from Keith Reed: "We had this concept for the sound of Procol Harum to be Hammond organ, piano, and blues guitar. No other band had that. It gave us a bigger sound. It's a live recording. I think we did 3 takes. It's equal parts Dylan and Stax. On our own terms, we were always trying to make a soul record. Funnily enough, Otis Redding wanted to do it. But we wanted our record out first, and Stax wanted the exclusive." The recording sessions were produced by Denny Cordell. The performers were Gary Brooker on vocals and piano, Matthew Fisher on Hammond organ, David Knights on bass, Ray Royer on guitar, and a session drummer named Bill Iden. A few days later, the song was re-recorded with the band's newly recruited drummer, Bobby Harrison, but that version was discarded and one of the original mono recordings was chosen for release. A quote from Gary Brooker: "Back in those days, we only had 4-track recorders. The organ got its own track, as did the vocal. Then the other 2 tracks were split between bass and drums on one, and guitar and piano on the other. It really didn't take very long. Everything was recorded live, no overdubs. When we went back into the control room to hear it, we knew immediately it had an atmosphere. It wasn't exciting because it made you jump. It was exciting because it crawled inside you." By the time Procol Harum's self-titled debut album was released in September of 1967, the membership of the band had shifted somewhat. Gary Brooker, Matthew Fisher, and David Knight remained from the single, but the band had now been joined by Gary Brooker's former bandmates from the Paramounts, guitar player Robin Trower, and drummer BJ Wilson. The single was released in the UK on May 12, 1967, and it took only 2 weeks for the song to hit number 1. The song also cracked the top 10 in the United States, making it to number 5. Since its release, A Whiter Shade of Pale has joined the elite group of singles that have sold more than 10 million copies worldwide. A quote from Gary Brooker: "You can go anywhere in the world and people may have never heard of Procol Harum, but sing the opening line of A Whiter Shade of Pale and they know exactly what you're talking about."
Stephen!
Hi, Jimmy. Father Malloy should be along soon.
Great sound, what?
Yeah. Wish my granny had one of these we could borrow. Greeting, Joel.
They nicked it from Marvin Gaye.
He nicked it from Bach.
We skip the light, fantastic.
Skip the light, fandango.
Turn cartwheels, cross the floor. I was feeling kinda seasick. But the crowd called out for more.
Pox's bleeding lyrics ever written.
When the 16 vests of virgins leaving for the coast, what's that mean?
I never understood that either. It's a very peculiar lyric.
How are you, Father?
In 2004, the UK performing rights group Phonographic Performance Limited named A Whiter Shade of Pale the most played record on British TV and radio of the past 70 years. In 2009, it was announced that A Whiter Shade of Pale is still Britain's most played record. The runner-up on the list, Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. A Whiter Shade of Pale and Bohemian Rhapsody were also joint winners of a Brit Award for Best British Pop Single, 1952 to 1977. An extremely interesting coincidence is that both songs, A Whiter Shade of Pale and Bohemian Rhapsody, contain the word fandango.
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 Fandango. Noun. 1. A form of flamenco music and dance that has many regional variations, e.g. Fandango de Huelva, some of which have their own names, e.g. Malagna, Granadina. 2. An unknown entity or contraption. For example, what's that fandango you're using? 3. A shade of red violet. For example, fandango color. Fandango. Verb. 1. To dance the fandango. 2. Figuratively, to dance, particularly with a lot of energy.
What is there to say about the lyrics, To a Whiter Shade of Pale? That first line, we skipped the light fandango. Is that a play on light fantastic? Turned cartwheels across the floor. I was feeling kind of seasick. Makes sense after the cartwheels. But the crowd called out for more. The crowd. Is he describing a band performing? The room was humming harder. Yeah, that sounds like a band performing. As the ceiling flew away. When we called out for another drink, the waiter brought a tray. Alright, we're in a bar. The crowd calling out for more... wants more booze? The room was humming harder. Yeah, sounds like a bar. A lot of people talking. And so it was that later, as the miller told his tale... Now, Keith Reed denies that that line was inspired by Chaucer's The Miller's Tale, but maybe the phrase The Miller's Tale was just a familiar phrase in the lexicon, that her face at first just ghostly turned a whiter shade of pale. Now, that's a great line. She said there is no reason and the truth is plain to see, but I wandered through my playing cards and would not let her be. He wandered through his playing cards. So maybe it's a guy trying to pick up a woman at a bar, trying all of his best pickup lines. Those are the playing cards. One of 16 Vestal Virgins who were leaving for the coast. The Vestal Virgins is a reference to Roman myth and the holy priestess Vesta, goddess of the hearth and home. There were 6 Vestal Virgins chosen by lot and sworn to celibacy. Their main task was to maintain the sacred fire of Vesta. So the 16 Vestal Virgins leaving, are these the women that turned him down? He wandered through his playing cards, his pickup lines. So that's what I'm getting out of this. Crowded bar, guy trying to pick up women, and failing. The song has been covered over 1,000 times, and I'm going to play 10 of them right now. 10 versions of A Whiter Shade of Pale that I have chosen, that I guess are my favorites, that I've found, my favorite versions of A Whiter Shade of Pale. And instead of interrupting the flow and introducing each song, I'm just going to let all 10 of them play straight through. First, we're going to hear Johnny Rivers' version of the song from his 1968 album Realization. After that, we're going to hear Shorty Long's version of the song, released as a single in 1969. Then we're going to hear Alton Ellis do a reggae version of the song from his 1967 album, Alton Ellis Sings Rock and Soul. After that, we're going to hear R.B. Greaves' version of the song from a 1970s single. Then we're going to hear The Dells, an R&B group who released their version of the song as a single in 1971. Then we're going to hear Jerry Williams, his version of the song from his 1972 self-titled album. After Jerry Williams, we're going to hear Sylvester's version of the song from a 1973 album called Sylvester and the Hot Band. After that, we're going to hear Booker T. Jones' version, released as a bonus track on the reissue of his 1974 album Evergreen. Then we're going to hear Glenn Hughes, a live version of the song performed by Glenn Hughes in Australia in 2006. And lastly, we're going to hear a version of the song performed by the Schenker Patterson Summit, which is Michael Schenker with vocalist Davey Pattinson, who sang with Ronnie Montrose in the band Gamma. They released a CD in 2004 called The Endless Jam, and we're going to hear the version of A Whiter Shade of Pale from that CD. So enjoy. This is 10 really good, interesting versions of A Whiter Shade of Pale.
Might as well be. at first just ghostly. Turned a whiter shade of pale.
Thank you. hard to eat across the floor. I was feeling kind of seasick. A crowd called out for more. The room was humming harder as the ceiling flew.
I wander through my playing cards 16 Vestal Virgins who were leaving for the coast. And although my eyes were open, they might just as well been closed. And so it was later, as the miller told us today, that her face at first just ghosty turned a wild shade of pale.
Yeah. turn cartwheels across the floor. I was feeling kind of seasick, and the crowd called out for more. And the room was turning harder as the ceiling flew away. And we called out for another drink, and the waiter brought the tray.
Back, I did this cover with another artist named Mark Benier in the States. And kind of an interesting, when I was asked to sing this song, this, you know, cover songs, you know, certain classics, you think, don't touch that. Can't touch that. But he convinced me that I should have a go at this song, so hopefully we can pull it off for you. It's called White Shade of Pale. I'm going to join in on the chorus. Okay, Clark, Tom, count it in.
We skip the light fandango, turn cartwheels across the floor. I was feeling kinda seasick. The crowd called out for more. The room was humming hotter as the ceiling flew away. When we called out for another drink, oh, the waiter brought a tray. And so it was the later, as the miller told his tale, as a face of frost just ghostly turned a whiter shade of pale. She said there is no reason, but the truth is plain to see, that I wandered through my playing cards. Virgins who was living for the cows. And although my eyes were open, then my dresses were closed. And so it was later, as the miller told his tale, that a face at first just ghostly turned a wider shade of pain.
Its haunting organ instrumentals are instantly recognizable. A Whiter Shade of Pale was released in 1967, went on to become a worldwide hit, selling 10 million copies and earning huge royalties for Procol Harum's singer. The original organist, Matthew Fisher, claimed he'd also played an important part in creating the song and went to court to seek copyright recognition and backdated royalties. Today, he won his copyright claim against the lead singer, Gary Brooker, who promptly dubbed the ruling a darker shade of black. That will have serious repercussions for the music industry. We'll talk to Matthew Fisher in a moment and hear him at the keyboard. But first, here's Lucy Manning.
Even at the most traditional of places, St. Paul's Cathedral, the organ solo of Procol Harum's A Whiter Shade of Pale doesn't seem out of place. Pop music fused with Bach's classical music, making a classic opening. The song was named the most played record of the last 70 years, so the royalties are not insignificant, running into millions. There was once harmony in the band as they skipped the light fandango, but that's no more, as the organist Matthew Fisher won his high court case for a share of the copyright. He'll get 40% of the copyright and a share of the future royalties. He'd argued that although his colleagues Gary Brooker and Keith Reid got the songwriting credits, he wrote the song's distinctive organ solo. The judge agreed, saying it was significant and hugely famous.
After having not been a co-writer of A Whiter Shade of Pale for 39 years, I think it's going to take a week or two for the reality to sink in. I think I could assume from now on I'm not going to be on Gary and Keith's Christmas card lists, but I think that's a small price to pay for finally securing my rightful place in rock and roll history.
Gary Brooker, the lead singer, argued he'd written the tune before Mr. Fisher even joined the band and said the organist had just tinkered with it. It took nearly 40 years for Matthew Fisher to finally claim his cut. He won't get any of the past royalties, and even with today's success, he sounds bitter about it all.
At the moment, I still have the feeling that all in all, I wish I'd never played on it, but I may come round.
But if the record keeps being played and being bought as mobile phone ringtones, he may finally get some financial reward for his organ playing.
So when anybody buys a copy of A Whiter Shade of Pale, Matthew Fisher's going to get a cut of those royalties. But Gary Brooker, the lead singer and co-writer, said the judgment was a darker shade of black for creativity in the music industry, that now bands would go into the studio and record, and at any point in time one of those musicians could sue for a claim of the copyright. He said that if Matthew Fisher's name goes on those credits, he wants his removed.
What's your reaction to Gary Brooker's announcement today that he wants to take his name off the credits if yours goes on?
I think that's just one of Gary's little jokes. I don't take that seriously at all.
His win could have implications for other musicians who've played on successful hits. 4 years ago, the violinist Bobby Valentino won a share of the royalties on the Bluebells song Young at Heart.
Perhaps people who have been asked to just knock up something from the supposed songwriter's notes might feel they could well get in on the act, and actually in many cases you would think justifiably.
As for A Whiter Shade of Pale, whether it's live from St. Paul's Cathedral or Top of the Pops, it still perfectly encapsulates the summer of love. Even after the bitter court case, working out who wrote it seems far easier than working out what the words of the song actually mean.
Well, Matthew Fisher is here with me now, and as a 60s throwback myself, it's quite good to see you sitting here in such good fettle, and in even better fettle having won this case today.
Yes.
Now, I mean, you only won 40% of the royalties. I guess 50% then go to Gary and 10% to Bach?
I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't object to that.
What part did Bach play in it?
I think Bach just inspired. I think he inspired Gary, obviously. I mean, Gary's always said that. It was obvious. But it also inspired me. The thing is that Gary was inspired by one particular piece of Bach, and I was actually inspired by another piece.
You can't play the different pieces, can you?
I mean, obviously what Gary was inspired with was the A on G string, which...
That's pretty recognisable. Yeah.
And I was inspired by Vacid Alf, sort of a choral prelude. It's sort of.
It's a very long way from any kind of a fandango, isn't it?
I don't know what a fandango is. It's some sort of Latin American thing.
What does it all mean?
What, the words?
Yes.
Oh, I don't even ask Keith that. I mean, I don't know a thing about the words.
You don't think about the words?
No.
But your job is to make the words happen, and they do happen in A Whiter Shade, don't they?
I like the words, don't get me wrong, but to me it was the mood and the atmosphere. I didn't worry about the meanings of it, and that's all I was doing, was kind of amplifying that mood.
Why did it take you so long to work out your rights in this matter?
Well, because I kept getting bad advice. And, well, partly
lawyers
that,
again.
Well, yeah, well, partly that, and also, I mean, I wasn't sitting there with £500,000 in the bank saying, gosh, shall I sue Gary today, or I think I'll do it tomorrow. No, I mean, you need funding to bring a case like this, and it wasn't until recently that I actually found a firm of solicitors that could help me do that.
Now, I mean, I don't know how much the royalties even to have you play it here. Can we afford it even? I mean, dare I ask you to play it?
Well, I haven't received a penny yet in composing royalties, so I don't think it'll make any difference to me.
My big problem is I've got to get my calculator out to work out how much is going to be and what is 40%. Are you going to walk out of here with a packet of fags, or are you going to walk out of here with half my earnings?
Oh, well, I've given up smoking, so maybe a drink.
Are you worried anyone will appeal?
I'm not worried because I know they're going to appeal.
Oh, you do?
They've already said that.
Oh, yes. We haven't heard the end of it.
Oh, no.
Well, look, why don't you give us all a thrill and play us off air with the real thing?
Okay, thanks.
Problems began in 1973 and the mention of the song in Melody Maker. The paper referred to Gary Brooker's Bach Licks. Matthew Fisher, then recently departed from the band, took issue with the comment, launching into a correspondence with the paper, during which he claimed that it was he, and not Brooker, who was responsible for those Bach licks, for the Baroque hook. Quote, the organ part, including the solo and the infamous Bach licks, was entirely my doing, he wrote. It took Matthew Fisher 37 years to do something about it, but in the year 2000 he sued, and songwriting royalties were frozen. Everything came to a head in 2006, when Matthew Fisher appeared at the Royal Courts of Justice, sat down at an organ, played his solo, bar by bar, to explain the process of composition. Fisher was awarded part of the copyright in 2006, but in 2008, the British Court of Appeals overturned Fisher's right to collect royalties due to the delay in the filing of his claim. But that decision was then reversed by the High Court in a unanimous decision, and he was awarded composer credit. The High Court confirmed that Fisher's organ solo was part of the song's composition. It turns out Matthew Fisher did not wait 40 years to bring his case to court. He tried four different times between 1972 and 2005, but he was told by four different lawyers that he had no chance of winning. It wasn't until he linked up with a lawyer named Jens Hill that he found someone who would take it to court and fight on his behalf.
Shades of Pale, fresh from Dulux.
So the group Procol Harum are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but in 2018 the song A Whiter Shade of Pale was honored by the Hall in the inaugural singles category. The singles that were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2018, along with A Whiter Shade of Pale, were The Twist, Rocket 88, Rumble by Link Wray, Louie Louie, and Born to be Wild.
Head out on the highway, looking for adventure, and whatever comes our way. Oh yeah, here and God are gonna make it. Born to be wild. Born to be wild.
So as I mentioned earlier, Keith Reid originally wrote 4 verses for the song A Whiter Shade of Pale, but when they recorded the song, it was way too long to be a single, so they actually cut it in half and only used 2 of his verses. In 1997, Procol Harum reunited for a 30th anniversary concert in Red Hill, England, and at that show, they performed the complete song with all 4 verses. And we're going to hear that performance right now. So this is Procol Harum, reunited in 1997, performing the complete A Whiter Shade of Pale.
Thank you.
tumbling by the looking glass. Forced her to agree. Say you must be the mermaid that took Neptune for a ride.
Hopefully. Weather permitting, okay. DJ Crap!
I'll be back.